See, I bought a Roomba once and I put it down on the floor. And when I went to start it up, it just said, uh-uh, no way. And it rolled out the door.
It looked around, saw the madness, and left.
He's like, ah, no, I ain't doing this.
Slip. You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle, Card Compliance.
Hello, Carden. Donna.
Carden. Yes, Carden.
See, I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd do it.
I knew I would too. That's why I started out laughing. I was like,
I know. You don't get another try.
I was doing good to get that far.
That's okay. You can get away.
I know. Well, you know, my brain's still running on 4 cylinders instead of 8 today, so.
Yeah.
Not enough coffee.
You blew 4.
I know. It's been a week. You know, cramming 5 days of work into 4, it does not work well with me.
And you've had the distraction. So you've had fun with the boys. You did something really cool.
I did. Yeah. Went skydiving.
You have to share it. Yeah.
Yep. So skydiving would be, I don't know. I told you before we started, it's kind of like the privacy managers. You're just plummeting into earth and you're hoping to God somebody will save you.
Because you know gravity works.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this podcast, right? You know, we're the parachute for the privacy managers. You know, especially after that email we got yesterday.
I know. Yeah. We've actually been getting some great emails about the boot camp. Which we'll get into in a little bit, but also listeners and great quotes. This particular email ended with thanks for reading this novel, which was, it was really cool. But there were several nice lines in there about how much the podcast has helped this particular person not feel alone in the world, because they're flying through the air without a parachute. But the line of, I listen to your podcast more than I go to church, was like, you knew I laughed out loud.
Right? Yep.
But anyway, we thank you, our loyal listeners. You know, we've gotten several emails lately about I never miss one. And we've got folks signing up for the podcast coming from other parts of the country. Nebraska, we got... It was like our first, before anybody else knew about it, was one of our let me know when, and they signed up before the podcast even came out saying that we were doing it. So it was pretty cool, from all the way from Nebraska.
Yeah. Cool.
So Omaha. I had to do it. I had to do it. I know it's wrong, but I had to do it. But congratulations on skydiving.
Well,
or falling.
Yeah, that's what they said. Look, it's not diving. You're just falling. Don't dive. But you don't have much of a choice in anything, all right? You're strapped to somebody else, and and when they jump, you have to go. You're strapped to them. It was, you know, it's just a controlled fall. It was very interesting, though. I was kind of taken aback by how you can't, there's nothing in your past or your vocabulary that can help you describe what you just went through. So when somebody says, how was it? You just go, I don't know. It's just, it was eerie in that it was peaceful, even though you're flying to the earth at 120 miles an hour. And at the same time, I'm trying to process all this because you know how I am.
Yep, I get you.
And then the guy strapped to my back is going, throw thumbs up, man. Throw some hang signs, man. You know, because they're filming it and all that. So, and I'm like, shut up. I'm in the process of dying here. You just have one job. I just want to make sure you do that one job. But yeah. So, it was great. It was fun. And did it with the kids. So, as a parent probably should, I wasn't able to enjoy it until I saw all my kids' parachutes open up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. We can do this.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay, we're good.
Yep. Yeah, make sure all I'm a
four
little,
of them.
All my ducklings are there. But yeah.
Yeah, they're grown men now, Dad.
I know, I know. But that was the most nerve-wracking part, was, you know, just knowing that it wasn't just me.
Yeah, yeah. It's at least a fun thing that they will remember forever, mm-hmm. that they all lived through it.
Yep.
Yep. That's the part that we must always remember, is Dad took us and we all lived.
I know. See? According to other people in the extended family, I was trying to kill them.
Really?
Trying to kill the kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you can guess who that came from.
Yeah. We won't go there. Anyhow.
All right. So where are you going to be at coming up?
You know, that gets into our podcast way more than I think it should.
It drives my wife crazy when I say at. Where are you going to be at? In front of the at. Anyway.
What you going to be doing?
Yeah.
This one comes out like the Friday before I'm in Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
North Georgia Medical Management Association. We're going to have some fun up there. Because we're taking the show up to the country. Actually, that's carpet territory. I may come back with new flooring. And then later in June, Formed approved. Mm-hmm. Those guys have me do their cybersecurity officer webinar, live webinar, June 20, 21st, 27th, and 28th.
That's a workshop.
That's a workshop. If you use Grindle 20, you get 20% off your sign up. So check it out. But then in July.
Yeah. Save up. It is HIPAA boot camp time.
Yep. July 19th and 20th. Time for boot camp.
Yeah. This one's going to be live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In living color. But you can learn more about it at thehippabootcamp.com. Mm-hmm. There's super early bird pricing through the 15th. So when this comes out, you got a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. I did like the email that said, did you ever decide where you're going to call it the worm or not? I'm interested. I was like, other people don't get the worm joke as much as everybody else. So we went with super early bird. And then early bird pricing kicks in. And then the last 10 days before the course, you don't want to be there because you're paying full price.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sign up. Everything should be there. And of course, as you can tell, we're fielding questions on it via email. Feel free to let us know any questions you have.
All right. And you can pay at the gate. if you want to.
Yeah, you can pay at the gate. That's fine. But it's
pay afterwards for the next one.
Well, there you go. It is a very intensive two-day session,
mm-hmm.
but it is intended to make sure that you have a broad understanding of what HIPAA requirements are and all the terms and all the madness that it involves, as well as all of the things you should worry about, even though you don't know how to worry about it yet. And the best part, I think, is at the end of all the sessions, we do one-on-one time and help you make a game plan. We're actually using this information when you go back to the office, which has always been a pet peeve of mine, is you go to a conference and then you don't use the information immediately when you come back. It's gone. It's a waste of money to go to the conference. So we're going to make sure that we spend the time with you so that you feel like you know what you need to do over the next two quarters to use the information you've gotten in the boot camp.
Awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of going to a conference and using the information from a conference.
I know. You just got back from Secure World Atlanta, which is the best place to have it in Georgia where all the action happens. I know.
They do 15 around the country, and I've never had a chance to go because usually my budget's spent on something else. But since we skipped HIMSS this year, then it made it easy to say, hey, I'll throw this one in along with a couple others. But it was really cool to spend 2 days in with cyber nerds. And, you know, all of the, you know, shortcuts, you don't have to explain yourself and you can just have a conversation.
So a lot of acronyms?
Lots. And, you know, you don't have to say vulnerability, which is always, you know, I get tongue-tied anyway. You can just say vulns and everybody knows what you mean.
Vulns?
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 V-U-L-E-N, vuln. It's a vuln because obviously we talked about a lot of vulns. But the
I would just shortcut everything. I would just start calling you Don.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, you know what? Well, let's don't go down that path. But I told the bartender at the reception because I was behind somebody and he goes, can I help the next? Yes, sir. Can I help next person? And I peep around a little bit further and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I was like, you can call me anything you want if you want to give me a drink. He was my friend after that for a while.
Yeah, you usually do make friends with the bartenders, I've noticed.
Yeah, and it works out for me.
I know. Senior magic.
So I do like knowing that, you know, when I'm out in the wild with the what everybody else calls normal people, I do sometimes still need my translator with me. Thank you, Carla. But, you know, and I met a couple of people that's their job. They were translators at the conference. But it is nice, I have to admit, to be around and hear all these conversations and participate in these conversations so that you get the nitty-gritty really quick because you're not having to explain any of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
So I did enjoy that. But overall, though, let's not make this a nerdy conversation.
All right. Don't talk nerdy to me.
I do have a little thing, talk nerdy to me. But I thought that some things that were important to share is, first of all, you know, this conference is not for the small business. This is big time enterprises that are trying to deal with security issues. So you're dealing with, you know, there were people from AT&T and Macy's and Home Depot and Ream, Bank of America, International Hotel Group, you know, just literally all shapes and sizes of major companies mm-hmm. were represented there with their chief information security officers, their CIOs, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, piles of consultants that work with those big organizations. And, you know, the topics, though, while, yes, there were some, you know, deep down discussions on things like managing vulnerabilities in open source software, where my propeller was just like, I was levitating. I was so happy. But interestingly enough, there were, let's see, I pulled out 6 different ones that talked about internal cyber issues. The individuals and getting management on board and all of those kind of things. It had nothing to do with technology.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 days, there were that many, and I probably missed a couple others, that were just about dealing with insider issues.
Good. I'm glad they're finally shifting to that conversation because we've talked about that a lot. About, you know, we can't, especially as technology people, I can't do it all. And the technology I put in can't do it all. It's
well, statistically, every major breach somehow comes from an internal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not internal, non-technical people. You've got technical people that aren't trained and don't have the tools they need to do the right thing sometimes. And then you got some that are just lazy. Technical people, I don't know about you, but I know plenty that they're lazy. They want to shortcut everything because they think they can.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens. And then the other big topic, so then there were a couple others. So out of 2 days worth of sessions, like 10 of the sessions were on insiders or third-party management.
Nice.
Okay, so that's not technology-driven stuff, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, and everybody over and over, the technology is not going to fix these problems. We've tried, you know. So, you know, there were some cool things about software-defined networks and all of this, but those are at the enterprise level. And, you know, some of them are trying to figure out if they can do small business level, but there's not a lot we can do with that level of technology. And they have the money to do those things, and they're worried about insiders and third parties.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things we always struggle with in technology is that we just can't justify the deployment of some of those other technologies that are, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars a month.
Yeah.
But and it's the people.
It's the people,
they're making the biggest difference, even though they're still kind of being ignored.
Well, they're clearly not being ignored anymore because it's all about the statistical likelihood of any specific breach having an insider involved, not necessarily maliciously, but they take an action that lets it occur. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty interesting just seeing the number of times that, you know, we do it actually, even in the boot camp, we have a session on it takes everybody, and IT has to learn to work with the other departments, and the other departments have to stop putting coffee mugs on the backs of the people working on the computer. So that whole discussion was covered over multiple sessions of, you know, stop thinking that you can sit in your little technology world and handle this. Mm-hmm. It's not working, right. You know. But it still don't think that there weren't plenty of discussions about crazy, scary stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to those in just a second. But the other, you know, by the time you go through the insiders discussion and all the different, you know, the phishing and social engineering and ransomware concerns and the how do you get insiders to be part of the security team and security awareness programs and managing third parties, blah, 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 and on and on and on. And then we get to the next popular topic was IoT. Yeah. And so it was covered in every session and frequently discussed. I did like one of the speakers. He said it's not the Internet of Things, it's the Internet of Threats.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's the Internet of Threat Things. But I was fairly impressed. iRobot, what
the
level?
The Big Zumba people?
Yeah,
the Not Zumba. Roomba.
Zumba. It's not cardiac help. It keeps you from having to do any cardiac. Cardio is not needed, rather, with the Roombas. And they actually gave away like $1,000 Roomba. Wow. And the person, they pulled the name and they said, Donna. And I was like, oh, really? I won? And then it was some other name that began with a G.
See, I bought a Roomba once and I put it down on the floor. And when I went to start it up, it just said, uh-uh, no way. And it rolled out the door.
It looked around, saw the madness and left.
He's like, no, I ain't doing this. Slept.
You know, we always worry about the security in IoT. And that clearly was a major point of discussion. That, you know, people are coming in and adding those to your networks. You don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Google Home and the Amazon Echoes and are just a few of the things. And so these things get added to the network, and all it does is expand your threat landscape because you got just so much more to protect, but people don't get that. And it's going back to getting them to understand. And the Roomba guy, and I can't remember what level of bigwig he was, but anyway, he talked about the security in IoT devices and assuming that all of the things that he did discuss, you know, they are worried about it in that one company. and they are doing things to secure their stuff, and they are securing their devices. And like the vacuum cleaners wake up in the middle of the night and get updates and download updates and all this kind of stuff. So they're building it in, and that doesn't mean any of the others are, though, because in that open source discussion, it was really interesting that, you know, because most of these devices use what we call open source software, which is software that's maintained by the community, not necessarily proprietary stuff, and you add your own secret sauce, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But in that discussion, there were a lot of stats, you know, because everybody needs stats if you're talking nerd. And at that point said that like 77% of those IoT devices use open source. Okay.
Yeah.
And of those, IoT devices that use open source have an average of 677 vulnerabilities on them each. Each one.
Wow.
So you are, you know, pretty close to, well, it's over 3/4 of them are using things that are seriously vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And all the companies are just kind of like, have at it. Yeah. You know, oh, they're not worried about it. They're just getting consumers to buy them and use them. And, you know, and actually one of the questions was to, you know, in after a big presentation, and it was like, okay, you've got a room full of security people that worry about securing these things and how hard it is to secure them, and you're selling them to consumers. How are they ever going to secure things?
Yeah.
And basically, no one has an answer.
Not my problem.
Yeah. No, So it was eye-opening in some ways, but then in others, not so much. You know, we've been talking about this forever. It's just reiterating, you know, we've talked about insiders over and over. We just talked about vendors needing to get ready for extreme vendor vetting, because I can tell you, I was sitting in on those rooms and it was like, you know, how many people have a vendor management program? Well, yeah, we do. You know, we actually teach people how to do them. And he's like, you know, why do so many have? Well, I'm in healthcare. And he's like, oh, never mind. You know, you got to have one.
Yeah.
You know, financials, they got to have one. But everybody else, not so much. Mm. And it's coming. So it was, you know, you're getting the, you know, who's going to come in and put a Roomba in their office? I mean, you know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of along the same lines, you've probably seen in the news this week about the VPN, I think it's a VPN filter.
Yeah.
The striking. And you know, from a business IT standpoint, some MSPs are going, well, these are attacking, you know, home-based routers, so we're not too worried about it. But the problem is a lot of these home-based routers are in businesses. They're in small mm-hmm. businesses, especially. I see them all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether
or people are accessing your network from the home-based router.
Yes, that's happening too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, number one, reboot your routers. Number two, if you're using something you bought off the shelf somewhere at Walmart or Best Buy or whatever, go get a business, you know, UTM, a router or whatever. Don't use this stuff you buy off the shelf.
Yeah, if you spent $200 or $300, it's different because you got some level of better to it. Mm-hmm. But those ones that are $100 or less,
Yeah, for me, now I'm coming from a little different standpoint, but if it doesn't have security services that you're paying a subscription for built into the device, then no.
That shouldn't be your business. No. Yeah. That ain't business.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ways you can do those things now. So, you know, plenty of things that, and you're right. I can guarantee you that almost everyone at that conference has no idea that small businesses use those left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not in that world.
No, they, you know, when they would turn to me and go, well, we would have a conversation and I would ask a question and they were like, oh, well, we just have so-and-so handle that. And I'm like, we don't have a so-and-so.
I am you know? The so-and-so.
You know, it's like my clients don't have four or five different ones. Now, the good news is, you know, in many cases, because of HIPAA, healthcare is ahead of the curve, like in the managing third parties, you know, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And that was a frequent topic was the what they call the SANS 20, which is, think of it as like top 20 best security practices, and they're kind of put in prioritized order. And, you know, everybody's like focused on the top nine, and then, you know, you break it down, and then the last four is when you really got it all going on. Well, when you look at it, it's basically the HIPAA security rule.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm sitting there, and they're all discussing it. And I'd looked at it before and just kind of like, oh, it's a security rule, and, you know, it doesn't help us that much. But the more they're talking about it, then it makes it easier for us to translate it. So then I'm sitting in this course where everybody's talking about these 20. And I'm just reading the 20 because I'm like, yeah. You know, I haven't changed my mind. But it's a good point to show that all these other companies that aren't required to do anything are doing these things mm-hmm. at a minimum. And that is the HIPAA security rule. And again, that's the minimum.
Right.
That's the minimum you should be doing. Now, if you're taking it seriously, you're going to go to the next step, which is using something along the lines of the cybersecurity framework. Now, the reason we believe in the cybersecurity framework, especially in small business, is it doesn't cost you thousands of dollars to do.
Yep.
You know, and if you're doing HIPAA, adding it to it, well, you know, we just talked about, why aren't you protecting all your other stuff?
Yeah, why not?
No.
It's honestly, it's easier to just do it all, you know, instead of trying to piecemeal it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, figure out what everything is and how much you need to protect it and include it all in there. But the bigger question is when I'm sitting there next to like risk managers, data risk managers for Bank of America, and you know, they're going above and beyond everything that we would do for various reasons. You know, they're financial and they're talking about, well, we vet the people that do transactions and here's how we vet them. And I'm like, whoa. And I was like, you don't understand. We have people that say, obviously, you take HIPAA security more seriously than we do.
That's sad.
I know. I'll never forget that seeing that answer on a survey. I'm like, seriously? And, you know, everybody complains, even David, when we send
I know. Send out
our survey.
Yeah.
But
I get them
many
too.
Of them. Yeah. Many of them are saying, well, some of those that are going out are 200 questions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ask you 200 questions. In fact, based on your answers, there's some questions you don't have to answer. You know, so it's clearly, you know, it's changing. The world is changing. And those of us in healthcare that have been trying to push, move the iceberg along out of the way, you know, it's comforting to see they're having the same problems. But at the same time, if these big enterprises are having the problems and they got all this money, how can they not get it done? So, but they are getting scared because there were plenty of conversations about GDPR.
Oh, I'm sure there were.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, all those guys have to worry about GDPR.
Yeah. See, us small folks, we can kind of dodge that bullet sometimes.
Well, yeah, people are asking me, aren't you busy with GDPR? And it's because they're seeing all these stupid, we've updated our privacy policy emails.
I got 100 of them last week.
And everybody's like, why are these coming? What's going on? You know, I'm at a cookout over Memorial Day and I'm answering questions about GDPR privacy rules.
I know.
I'm like, give me a beer. I'll tell you more.
I said something to one guy about GDPR and he's like, I haven't heard of that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, everybody that was at this conference knows what it is, but everybody's expecting that, you know, it's kind of like in our educated guesses, that was one that you added to the list that it's going to come across the pond.
Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about it repeatedly that the states are doing so many things. You've got other countries doing all these things that we're going to be put in the position at the federal level that we have to do something.
Yeah. Matter of fact, South Carolina just passed a law for insurance agents and companies that they now have a separate data security law in place in South Carolina. First state. Hey, we're first.
Yeah, for insurance. Yeah. And you got New York that did it for financial services.
Yep.
So if this keeps propagating, we're bound to, you know, be in a position where we have to standardize.
Yep.
And that's essentially what GDPR was doing at the European Union. So
It's a coming.
Yeah. Everybody knows that is down the pipe. They just don't know where they're going to run into it. So they're trying to prepare for it. And they're doing it using things like the SANS 20, which, like I said, is basically the HIPAA security rule.
Yeah. And the bare minimum.
Yeah, and the bare minimum. And they're like, if we can get here, then we can actually implement real cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's exactly the way that we've talked about before, that we know the HIPAA security rule has to go to the next level because it is the bare minimum. But there were a lot of cool things, and I did get to see David Benton, who was we interviewed him last year on the podcast about doing forensics and investigations, and he's now working for, he's a cybersecurity, some bigwig with CHOA, which is the Children's Hospital of Atlanta.
Cool.
Yeah, and he loves it. He's like, they really are doing it all. When I get there, it's like, cool. You know, there's six layers of security that you have to get through to get to their core stuff. And he's like, if it gets through four, we call it a failure. You know, I'm like, you must be in heaven.
I know.
You're getting to do, you know, above and beyond the basics. And he does. He loves it. So, you know, but CHOA's, everybody's kind of always known they've got their stuff in together. But, and then we also got to hear from Poneman. And he.
The Poneman?
The guy.
Not the Pokemon. And,
yeah, well, that was funny because he said it's Poneman, not Pokemon, and that apparently the autocorrect and all Microsoft products changes it to Pokemon. And he told a story that he had doing a presentation, and this Microsoft exec had called him Pokemon through the entire presentation because everything got changed to it.
Pokemon.
But he was discussing the survey they did on CISOs, which is chief information security officers, and it was very, very interesting. But he was a really funny guy and great information, and we'll probably cover some of those in another discussion about merging with some of the other surveys they've come out with recently. It was really cool. So those were cool. And then we got to the scary stuff. And sitting in on these conversations, and I will tell you one thing that's really scary is pretty much everything that you went to that was talking about how, you know, how the attacks happen. Because if you don't know how they happen, it's hard to prevent them, right?
Right.
And so when you were listening to these folks that, you know, like one guy works for an international cybersecurity firm, and he says they get 15,000 vulnerability triggers per second.
Oh, my Lord.
On their global network. Per second.
Wow.
I know. Like, you know, in that, you know, we try to explain that that's happening, and they're standing there and they're like, somebody right now is doing something on your network that they shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And everybody sits there for a minute and goes, oh yeah, they probably are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
And then we come from a space where people are going, I'm not really sure if I need security. Make you want to bang your head against the wall.
I had a
guy just this week was like, okay, I got your price. Seems pretty reasonable. However, if that's what good security looks like, I think I'll take my chances. I was like, really?
Wow. I mean, wow.
Okay. And we're talking medical. Well, actually dental, but.
That is medical.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah, way back.
In the compliance world, there's a little different
They see viewpoint. Themselves as different. Yes. They don't, everything doesn't apply to them. But but the thing that was scary is it didn't matter whether they were talking about WannaCry or Petya, not Petya. The, you know, it didn't matter. They were, whether it was less popular ones, not popular, but well-known. Mm-hmm. In every case, it was, okay, that was Russia's cyber teams testing a new method. That was Russia testing this. That was Russia testing that. And like everything is going back to Russia's cyber teams, according to like multiple different cyber experts. And I'm like, wait a minute. So WannaCry was in the Ukraine. Yes, but that was masterminded by the Russians testing how well they could do this attack in the Ukraine, and it spread exponentially around the world, which they loved. Yeah. They're like, now let's see what we can do. So any little thing that you hear about, they're basically tracking it back all the time, they say, to Russian hackers. And I couldn't believe how many sessions. And it wasn't like that was a discussion. It was just like matter of fact kind of discussion. You know what? It was like, oh yeah, that's blah, 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 blah. And this is how they did it. And the Russians were involved and this is why they were involved. Hmm. And then you just kept going. That wasn't like on the agenda. It's just like everybody knew it. And I was just like, your first time you hear it, you're like, wow. And think about that. By the fourth or fifth time you hear something like that, you really start to get that nation state attacks matter. But at the same time, when they tell you how to handle if you're just getting started with the SANS 20, they say basically the SANS 20 helps you prevent everything but nation state attacks because you can't really do anything about them.
Yeah.
They're already in, probably. What? Okay. I'm just not going to worry about that. I won't have any nightmares, I promise. My paranoia, y'all are triggering it even worse. But, I mean, it was just so matter of fact.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I did hear, you know, you would hear these discussions that weren't part of the sessions. You know, it was just like you're sitting at the table at lunch or you're hanging out, you know, outside waiting on something, and people would be having these conversations. And they were talking about, like, how Stuxnet was implanted and multiple people hearing different stories about ways they were trying to get it in. And it included an IT guy that would go work at the nuclear plant periodically, but he traveled around Europe all the time. And he apparently they found out that he liked to visit, let's say, specific kinds of sites.
Like what, Donna?
And they didn't go into it. They just kind of did the air quote thing. And everybody went, oh. And so they found the one that he liked to go to the most. And he was apparently doing it in his hotel room as he's traveling. And they found the one he liked to go to the most. And then they infected that site so that when he went there, his computer got infected. They were watching for him to come. And they infect his computer because he's doing it on his work laptop. Then he takes that same laptop that he was on the site and takes it right into the plant and plugs it right into the network.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one story. Another story was they did it on one of the cards. They, you know, switched out a card, which we always hear about. But, and then, of course, OpenRDP, which we've talked about so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody was talking about phishing tests, and it was like that was what everybody was into right now, and how it was really helping, and how it was, you know, because you get nailed. You click, you can't hide it. You can't lie about it. And so everybody's talking about phishing tests, and that's the go-to thing for security awareness. And then one lady on this panel goes, I'd just like to point out that there is no amount of phishing tests that would have prevented one of our attacks, ransomware attacks. It was a industry website that everyone uses to get information for their particular industry. It had an infected banner ad that somebody clicked. Hmm. And that's how they got hit with ransomware. And everybody in the room went, oh. I was so excited about my phishing test. And, you know, it's like, how do I stop that? I can't. And it's a legitimate website. And it was an ad that clearly was targeting them.
Mm-hmm.
That made them click. So how do you stop that?
Ad blockers.
Not really. And, you know, but it's still, it's like everybody's like, okay, well, we've got this in and we've got that and we've, you know, and you keep going over and over. And I did hear in a very secret whisper that the Atlanta ransomware attack happened because an IT person did something stupid.
Oh.
Yeah. That the attackers only managed to get a public facing website hit. And then some sysadmin found it, and instead of isolating and doing what they should do, mm-hmm. they said, hey, what's this? Click, click.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, at least that's the story, you know, and it's like the Stuxnet. There's three or four stories, so you don't know. But I could see that happening. It's that shortcut technical people do. It's the shortcut. But I still couldn't find anybody that knew anything about AllScripts, which was driving me crazy. I didn't want to know about AllScripts, and I, you know, it's still, you know, I keep trying, asking around, anybody know anybody? Anybody heard anything? Nope, nothing. But I know that eventually that story is going to have to come out. And, you know, I hopefully will, you know, be able to get some of the details soon. But we'll see.
Wow. A lot of good stuff then. So I'm sure you were in like overload land for 2 days.
Oh my God. It was the craziest stuff and stuff I hadn't even thought about what kinds of things the criminals are doing. There's one site called PayPal Sent Site, and you go there and you buy PayPal accounts that have balances so that you can spend that money.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. You know, and it's just like, and, you know, we think about the dark web and, you know, you've got the layers, you know, the surface web and then the dark net and the dark web and all of these different things. But it's, you know, the surface web, the deep web where it's not really searchable. And then you get the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where all the criminal stuff happens. And it's, you know, it's interesting the stuff that he was showing, and I got tons of prints, you know, took pictures of tons of stuff, and it, you know, it's just more examples of how it looks like eBay.
Hmm.
You know, and they're talking about your metadata, and, you know, we know what metadata is, but you're talking about your metadata. They're gathering your metadata, so they're gathering information about you from multiple sites to create metadata on you, and then using that metadata to influence you, whether it be politics or social media, what car to buy, you know, they will then use that information to target you in so many ways. And, you know, they're buying it from what they think are legit, but they're not, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then one last statistic from Anthem, one of the CISO guys that was there, he said, I was with Anthem when the big breach happened, and everybody was like, ooh.
You survived.
But they were talking about cleaning up identities, which we've talked about before in our recent thing on spring cleaning,
mm-hmm.
digital spring. And just to make you go back and listen to that if you haven't heard it, digital spring cleaning, we talked about clearing out, you know, usernames that didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and they call them identities, you know, in the big world.
Right.
And when they did their evaluation after the breach, they found that they had 1 million identities on their network.
Oh, my gosh.
But they only had 100,000 employees and contractors that should have had an identity.
Wow.
Well, then they were like, yeah, that's not that way anymore.
I would hope not.
So, you know, it know that it's not just, you know, healthcare, and there's bad guys doing crazy stuff, and even down to you go to a conference and you see free Wi-Fi, and it's a bad guy that just stuck a router in there, and they're collecting your information when you can at a conference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that happened. So it's scary stuff, people. It's scary. There's plenty of them, and we need everybody's help to get it done.
Get it done.
Yeah, so quit giving us a hard time and saying if that's what security costs.
Well, I got a bonus cyber security type story. For those of you who made it to the end. So I had a conversation with my insurance agent this week, and we wanted to, you know, take a look at changing some things, upping some coverages. And anyway, one of the things we talked about was cybersecurity insurance. The last time I vetted that out, it was fairly new and didn't cover all that much. And so now it's a little different in what it does. And of course, one of the things we wanted to see is, you know, would it cover things like the breach notification cost and all that, which it does. However, it doesn't cover a lot money-wise. You know, they were like, it was funny because the insurance guy was like, this is going to cover $250,000. I'm like, dude, that's nothing.
That's not even a dent.
I was like, we'll blow through that in, you know, what, 800 patients maybe?
You'll blow through that in 2 days.
So anyway, the point I'm trying to get to is I asked him the question. I said, look, I've heard that cybersecurity insurance is kind of worthless because you have an incident and they go, oh, we're not going to pay that because whatever. And so he said, well, you know, that what actually was true as little as about a year or so ago, but a lot of that's changed. However, this is from the insurance guy. He's like, what I am seeing is that they are denying claims when people cannot prove that they are taking security measures. And he specifically mentioned patching. He said, if you can't prove you're patching and you have a patch policy and you're following that policy, they're denying claims. And I'm like, what? I mean, how many people that, unless you have an IT company that's, you know, tracking all this and reporting on it, how many people actually know if their things are being patched? And if they are they being documented?
Well, yeah, and that's why when we tell our clients your IT company needs to give you documentation that they're doing your patch management so that you can have that, you know, 5-6 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, people.
I know. So your cybersecurity insurance may not be doing you any good at all if you don't have this information.
Yeah, and all the people that say, I don't have to do the work because I'll just let insurance cover it.
Yeah. Good luck with
that. Yeah. Yeah, that's going away.
That's the same people that's going to file bankruptcy to get away from it, too.
Yeah, that's not happening either. Yeah,
good luck with that, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, there we go. There's all the things to scare you for today.
And it's not even October 31st.
I know.
All right, folks, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember to follow us and share us out. You know, Donna loves to be shared with people.
Don't even start.
Rate us on our podcasting app. And, you know, we only take 5-star reviews. Anything less than that.
Well, that's all we've ever gotten. We don't know how to handle anything less.
Don't try it, though. Because, you know, I made Donna last time we had something go wrong. She was in a fetal position in the corner for days. Anyway, as always, send in your questions and ideas. You can send them to contact@helpmewithhipaa.com. I'm sure that one of us will get back to you. More likely Donna.
Because David never sees him.
I don't see him for some reason. Anyway, so for Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.